Let me first explain why it's the two of us here. Professor Pepeta, as you know, is the Dean of Health Sciences. So he is part of a team that has been established by the Vice Chancellor to put in place measures to contain the spread of the virus here at the university as well as beyond.
Yes.
And he is also the chairperson of the University Health Committee. And he has been appointed to chair the health committee because of his background academically, you know, as a professional doctor.
Yeah.
So he is much more qualified to respond to clinical and technical questions in relation to the health-related matters, you know.
Okay.
As you know, that this virus is a health risk, you know, not only to the country, of course, as well as to the world.
Yeah.
So what the university has done was to basically establish that that task team, you know, in response, as you had said correctly in your introduction, in response to not only what the minister has said, but also in response to the command by the president that the country must be on an alert, with the president having declared at this period that we are in as a national disaster, as well as in response to the World Health Organization, which basically said countries must take World Health Organization is a structure, you know, of the United Nations, which basically said all countries must take comprehensive measures to contain the spread, you know, of the virus. In other words, countries must not only take one measure, like, for instance, maintaining the social distance, but they must deal with all measures, you know, they are recommending, you know, to basically contain the virus. So the task team that the university has established looks at our immediate environment in terms of what it is that we need to do, you know, to basically contain the spread, you know, of the virus.
Okay.
Needless to say, we are on a national alert, you know. The president has declared the period that we are in as a national disaster. So it's not business as usual.
Mm.
It's a period that requires emergency measures, because emergency situations require emergency measures. So we don't expect to operate using existing norms. We must apply norms that are aimed at containing the measures. So I just want to make those opening remarks, and then I will hand over to.
Okay.
To
thank you very much, Luthando. As Mr. Jack has put it out there, that I'll be talking on the actual medical aspects of this pandemic, and its implications, and what the university has done, as you asked, in terms of trying to contain the situation. First of all, this is a pandemic which was declared by World Health Organization. It means it now affects the world globally. That's the one thing. It's like the SARS virus that we had before, and MERS that we had before, so-called the avian flu and those flus, but this one is much stronger than those flus that we've had before, and is very deadly as well, and it spreads very fast. As if you remember, 2 weeks ago we were talking about less than 10 cases in this country. 2 weeks later we're sitting at 150. So the numbers are exponentially rising. Across the world we are beyond 200,000 affected individuals by this virus, and the death rate already, the figures when it comes to those that have died from the virus are more than 10,000. So that's the problem that we're facing. So in a space of just over a month, 10,000 people have died from this virus, so it is really very deadly. So the university had to act, as Mr. Jack put it, the vice chancellor tasked us as university to put up the task team, the coronavirus task team. And that is informed by the various sectors of this institution. And as explained, I come in the health aspect of things. And we do have a health committee in the university, which I've been chairing for some time, that is leading that aspect of things. Okay. Now, based on that and the plans that we need to put in place when you have a pandemic of this nature is to ensure that you contain it right from the outset. You must ensure that you limit its transmissibility. You must ensure that you break that chain of transmission and flatten the plateau, the graph, which is exponentially rising at this point in time as we are following. Now, in the Eastern Cape, we have been very lucky that we don't have recorded cases. And in our institutions, we don't have recorded cases. But also just to highlight one thing, that in institutions of higher learning, we are seeing more and more of the cases. Today, a first case in Stellenbosch University was reported. Okay. We have cases in the University of the Western Cape. Obviously, you know about the UCT cases. You know about the University of the Witwatersrand cases. Now, when that case arose at Wits University, which was a student who was partying, who had been in contact whilst asymptomatic, in other words, before even showing signs of the virus, there were 350 students that were in contact with that student in class. The university had to quarantine them. In other words, they must sit in their residences and not go anywhere. Okay. And that is a measure to contain the virus. In this setup, in terms of containing the virus, and as you know, according to the guidelines that have been put out by our president and the National Disaster Management Plan and the Act, we need to ensure that we avoid gatherings. That's the one thing of containing the virus. Besides washing our hands regularly, wiping surfaces regularly, putting tissue when you are sneezing, or using your elbow when you are sneezing, cleaning your cell phones, by the way, regularly as well. Besides all those measures, the main measure that we need to ensure is that we reduce gatherings of individuals and maintain a social distance. Okay. That way, we try and break the chain of transmission of the virus.
Now that, Prof, you mentioned something about the task team that was formed. What is it that is expected from the task team that was formed here at Nelson Mandela University in order to minimize the COVID-19?
Yeah, the task team that has been placed here in Nelson Mandela University is to provide exactly the same. There are three broad areas that this task team must ensure. First, we must ensure that we follow the guidelines in terms of surveillance for this disease. We must follow the guidelines and enforce the guidelines in terms of prevention of the disease. We must also ensure that, and by prevention I mean all the measures that limit the spread of the disease. In fact, all the measures that ensure we don't get the disease. So that's the main thing, by preventing. But by surveillance also, we need to ensure that we identify potential sources of the cases, which is why then this task team has put, for instance, as one of its measures, guidelines around local or domestic travel and international travel of both staff and students that are in this university. That's surveillance. And also ensuring, in terms of prevention, the cleanliness of the environment, ensuring that we dispense sanitizers. I'm sure you saw today now we've got sanitizers wherever you walk in the major entrances, but also minimize the population on campus. Remember, big numbers promote transmission of disease. That's the role of that task team as well. And also identifying potential cases and referring them for treatment.
Okay.
And also ensuring that we give regular, accurate information about how this virus spreads. and about how this virus causes disease and about how we can prevent that, how we can minimize the transmission of that virus. And one of the major things the university has done is really to establish that website that updates. And most of the information coming out of that website is informed by the activities of the task team that has been set up by the Vice Chancellor.
I'll go to Mr. Jack. Mr. Jack, there was an email circulating around saying that the student should evacuate its residence, as I said on my introduction earlier on, saying that both on campus and off campus. Can you confirm that?
Yes, that's true. The email says they must vacate residences by tomorrow, the 20th of March.
Is that forcefully, or are students being forced to evacuate, or whoever that wants to leave can leave, or want to stay can stay on campus?
No, it's not a matter of choice.
Okay.
We want our students to vacate the university by tomorrow. For the reasons that Professor Pepeta has mentioned, within the context of containing the virus, and as I said, we are in an abnormal situation, which really calls for a business unusual measures. Yes.
Okay. Prof, that's right, mentioned that Eastern Cape is among the provinces that is not yet reported that with the COVID-19 cases. Hence, Nelson Mandela University is situated at Eastern Cape. And now, if we let this student go, and then what will happen when they come back? And also, we have international students. On yesterday, if I'm not mistaken, or day before yesterday, our government introduced that they will close Ipoda. And entry airport. So I don't know. Maybe the management who was sitting in that meeting taking this decision thought of the international students and also of other students that are coming from KZN, Gauteng, where these coronavirus cases are being reported.
Okay, maybe I'll ask Prof to respond to the other question about with respect to the spread of the virus and the fact that currently, because we've got to underline and say currently the Eastern Cape does not have a positive case. With respect to international students, most international students, especially those that come from outside the continent, they have been recalled by their countries, and their embassies have facilitated their departure back to their countries. So their problem has been, if you like, solved. So what we are seized with now is with respect to African students, students that come from Zimbabwe, Lesotho, and Botswana, and so on. So we are dealing with, we are looking into their own situation.
Okay.
That also includes, for instance, students who have said to us, we don't have funding. So we're looking into their case. Actually, we've developed a mechanism. So we've developed forms in order to look into their case. So we've distributed those forms to residence managers. So they must collect those forms to residence managers and return them so that then we can evaluate their case on a case-by-case basis. So we're not going to take a general approach. So we'll treat each case in its own merits, the same as with respect to international students. But those students who are funded by NSFAS but who have exhausted their allowances, what we have done was to bring forward the April NSFAS living allowance.
Okay.
So we have paid those students 50% of their allowance so that then we can enable them to travel back home. So that's how we have addressed the issue of funding. For those students who don't have money, you know, to travel back home. Yeah.
So even if I don't want to go home now, I must by tomorrow leave the campus.
That's what we are saying, and we're saying this. It's an emergency situation, you see. So it's like now we're saying it's in your interest, Zama.
Okay. Okay.
Even if you don't want to go home, but it's not, it's in your interest for you to go home, because we think that you'll be better. You'll be in a better environment when you are home than when you are here in the university, because as Professor Pepeta says, when you look at the patterns of the spread of the virus, it's unpredictable. We don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. We are in a state of flux, you know. We don't know. Maybe in 5 days to come, I'm just saying hypothetically, we may be in a lockdown, you know, as a country. And this is happening, for instance, in France, in Italy. People are in a lockdown in Milan, you know. They are not allowed to leave their homes. So if we get into that situation, and we've got students in our residences, and all of us are in a lockdown. They are alone here. They don't have supplies. They don't have food supplies. They don't have electricity. They don't have security. Nobody cleans their rooms, you know. So who will be accountable for that? So that's why I'm saying we've taken this decision in the interest of students. This decision is in their best interest. But it's just that for now, they don't look at it from that perspective for various reasons.
Okay.
And again, one point I must make upfront is that when you look at the behavioral patterns, you know, now students are in the residences. We don't know when lectures are going to resume. They are not doing anything, no assignments, no tests, no lectures, nothing.
I know a few students that even now they are in their labs doing their assignments. There are submission dates even this week. By tomorrow, next week, there are also submission dates.
No, that has been basically called off. The no submissions will be made before the opening, you know, of the university. So that decision has been basically taken, and no online learning is going to happen between now until the university officially opens. So we've got to allay those fears, you know, from our students.
Before we can just take a short break, I want to involve you, Prof, here, on this matter of allowing students to go out. What is your thought on that, or your view on that?
Yeah, it's a very simple and very clear one, and it's along the lines that Mr. Jack is actually alluding to. And here is a very simple maths along that. If we have students in residences, and we have one of them being exposed to the disease, the rest of that residence is actually going to be affected, which then means we lock down immediately on that res and we place the students on quarantine. That's number one. Number two, even much bigger, is the fact that in a week's time, we're starting April, which means it's the flu season, which means the spread of the disease, as we are seeing it now, is going to be 10 times more. Now, with that prediction and hypothesis, as Mr. Jack stated, we might be looking towards a lockdown, which then means even myself as a practitioner, I won't be able to help the students. I'll actually be self-quarantining in my own house. I'll be under self-quarantine with my family.
Okay.
Lockdown means I don't go anywhere. Nobody goes anywhere. You are with your family. This is the only window of opportunity before the flu season that the students must go back and be with their families. There'll be a time as the vulnerable group where they'll have no one to look after them.
Okay.
And well, let's make that message clear.
Now, Mr. Zuma, in fact, my friends, I'm going to be standard to come about some amele, meet the movement, upper Gumati Bazre, to Kumla Soti, so Luka, Newena Paya,
and our community to contracting this disease, but won't be able to look after them. So we'd rather then ensure that we intensify preventive measures such that we don't get this disease, because we know if we get it, we may not be able to cope with the needs in terms of looking after our population.
Just
this case, the students. Okay.
Just one addition. This decision is in the interest of the students. We are, unfortunately, this generation of students that is here, including yourself, Sama, you've never experienced a state of emergency. We are in a national disaster. So if there is a national command, there is a reason why the president chairs a national command, there is an establishment of provincial commands. It means we're acting on the basis of orders, of instructions. You know, so when instructions are issued, you've got to oblige to the instructions, you know. So we hope that our students are going to heed the call, such that we don't get into a situation where we are viewed as forcing, you know, our students to get out. We're using heavy-handed approaches to make our students leave our residences, and interesting, ironically, in their interest, because this decision, we've got to emphasize, is taken in their interest. It is in their best interest.
Before Sivala, Mr. Chakubele, I noticed something that the academic calendar of this Ichinchil whereby Isaias with last classes or last classes in November, but now Zipele in October. And the reason the buzzer this question is because of now that is a national disaster or gule case ungabi calendar, the academic calendar is a sala inch iphele in October, or okanye I management so pindi tibane iphindi ivule maybe singaboni phela ngo November as usual.
Well Zama, we definitely will have to review the calendar of the university, but the operative or the operating word is we are in uncertain times, and don't think that is an exaggeration when we say we don't know when this thing is going to come to an end. It's not an exaggeration. So we may end up finishing our academic calendar at the end of November, at the end of December, probably in January next year or in February next year. Okay. Nobody knows. It may be worse than the fees must fall period, for instance. Yeah.
Okay. We may not close at all. And if we come back in June, we might see ourselves working right through just to catch up and make sure that then we finish the work, and therefore the academic calendar will change completely. And we can't tell. We'll reassess the situation as we wake up and see how the pandemic is behaving, but we have a huge tide, a tsunami that is coming at this point in time. We would want to step aside and not be swept away by the tsunami.
Sishiyeka nje imizuzu mingaphi i-12 basiphume. Mr. Jack, and ndizaqala ngawe nje, I'm not gonna say your last words because you're not dying or something. Your close, I'll give you just few minutes to talk to a student and as well you, Prof.
Okay, thanks Sama. I just want to say the president of Rwanda, President Paul Kagame, says, health is wealth. Health is wealth. That's the message I want to send to our students. Be an agent of your own health. If you don't take your health seriously, then you are wasting. You'll be wasting your health. So this decision has been taken in the interest of our own students. And I must also say, Zama, as I end, that we know that during this period, just the few days we have been on recess mm. or suspended classes. Mm. We know the conduct of our students in their residences. Mm. We know what was happening. I know what was happening yesterday at Student Village. Mm. You know, okay. It's not good. Mm. You know, our students, they frequent some shop here. Up Admiralty Way, mm. you know, okay. they are partying in our residences. Mm. So and then they want to say no, we don't want to go home when we know that they are not self quarantining, you know, but they are just doing other things mm. that put them even much more in danger. Mm. So we just pleading with them to hit the call and go home. Those that do not have money, go to the RS managers and take the forms. And of course, we'll support the needy students. Those that have got funding, have got NSFAS, they must go to the financial aid office. And if their allowances have not been loaded already. Thank you so much.
Okay, thank you. Prof.
No, thank you very much. Yes, just to add to what Mr. Jack is saying, as I was driving in now coming to the studio, there was a group of students carrying quite interesting cans mm. in plastic bags coming from the same place that Mr. Jack is talking about. And that is very risky around this virus as well. So I want to reemphasize what Mr. Jack is saying about students taking good care of themselves. There's no such a thing as them having to submit assignments. Mm. We are in recess. We will only revise any learning that needs to take time after Easter, and that's what the university is saying, and we'll communicate any changes that take place along the way. Most importantly, we need to learn what has happened to Italy, mm. and if you follow the media and you listen to the videos of the people of Italy, including students, mm. there's one thing that they keep saying: if only we acted 2 weeks earlier. If only we acted 2 weeks earlier. And that's what we want. Even the students, because they also went partying. Mm. And then they caught the virus. And then everyone is in trouble. And Italy, as a first world country, they've got more than 1,000 deaths from this virus. Mm. If only we act swiftly. That's all that we're asking for.